Are you familiar with Psalm 131? It's only three verses. Lots of people quote it. I try to quote it, and I don't know why it doesn't stick in my head. Psalm 133 says this. It lets us know it's a song of ascents. So that means that it's the song they sing as they walk up the hill toward Jerusalem. Wherever you come from in Israel, it's up a hill toward Jerusalem. This is a song of ascents. As people come to the temple to worship, here's a happy tune. We don't know the tune, but we have the words. It's of David, the king. The little boy, least in his family, who God chose because his heart was after God. And he made him king. The little guy who faced Goliath, even though the king, who was the biggest man in Israel, a head above everyone else in all Israel, they made him king. He didn't go fight the giant. The giant of Israel didn't go fight the giant. We, David, fought the giant. David and God beat the giant. This king wrote this song, and we look at it now. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Look at it. Look at that. How good. Good? Who are you calling good? Only God is good, Jesus said. Look how good. How pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. Have you read that part in the Bible? When Aaron was ordained as a priest of Israel and all his descendants after him, the people who would minister in Israel, the Levites, do you know that name? When brothers dwell together in unity, it's like that. Man, that guy. These are people who saw the Red Sea. These are people who are stuck in the desert. These are people who watched this man, a sinner just like them, get set apart by God. And by the way, if you do it wrong, you'll die. Right? His two sons consumed by fire, strange fire. Right? So this guy and these people saying, right, it's him. Pour oil on his head. And this person who says, I will stand for you, Israel. And did you ever play that little game? You close your eyes and your friend says, I'm going to break an egg on your head. And then you spread it and you imagine. Have you ever had oil poured on your head? Or like abundant shampoo, just lots of it. You ever, so ladies, maybe you go to the hairdresser and they do the shampoo, right? I used to go to a lady's hairdresser when I was a long-haired guy because it was wonderful. I was just like, you know, and your foot, you just start tapping like a dog if you scratch him in the right spot, you know, it's just lovely. How good and pleasant when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like that. It's like the oil running down the beard. So much of it that it's just dribbling. So much of it that it's going down the clothes. That's a lot of oil. Unity. That's how wonderful unity is. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded his blessing, life forevermore. Do you know where Hermon is when you hear that? Well, it's in Israel, but it's not in Israel now because it's on the border between Lebanon and Syria. So you picture Israel, and then you picture Syria and Lebanon, and Hermon is up there. But when you look at it, we'll just say for the sake of argument, you're looking at it from Syria. Okay? But that's even more difficult. What if we just looked at our hills, right? We look at our Alva hills here, hill foots. You know when up on the top they get the snow that sticks and stays up there? And you look up there and you go, ah, you know. It's where the water freezes and is collected to melt throughout the year to feed the Jordan River. It's the mountain range that lines the headwaters to the Jordan River that comes down and fills the Sea of Galilee, which is a freshwater lake. And that leaks out of the lake. See, if you let it out, it's good. It leaks out of the lake, the Jordan River, and stops at the Dead Sea. Dead Sea doesn't let it out. It just evaporates. And what it leaves behind is dead. If you get poured into you and it never makes it out, dead. Doesn't bring life. Just conviction and then no living it out. Just stuck there, all to your own devices. Doesn't make a difference. But up there at Hermon, where this evaporated water comes down again and makes snow and then comes along, that's life, isn't it? Isn't it? So the psalmist says, man, when you guys are together, when we are together, it's like the anointing on the high priest of Israel. A lot of it. It's like the water, the fresh water that brings life to the entire valley all through the year. That's what that's like. Isn't that nice? It's beyond nice. It's life-giving. Because the priest is how sin ever got dealt with, isn't it? If you are a Christian all by yourself, you'll get away with all your sin. You'll never be challenged. You don't have to grow. Come together in unity, and it's not all like let's sing songs and let's hold hands and warm fuzzy hugs all day. That actually doesn't happen in unity. Coming together takes the edges off you. Coming together, sparks fly. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And the goal is to come together, to get past the edges, and to be together, and to know unity. But you got to get past the rough edges to get there. You have to put up with each of us, our pet peeves, and our predilections, and our proclivities, and our preferences to come together, to be together. We have to get there. And there, the Lord has commanded the blessing forevermore. Isn't that wonderful? Forevermore. It's kind of like everlasting, you know? It's kind of like eternally. So it isn't that God ordained a blessing on Hermon, right? Because that's not even, you know, you could say, oh, God ordained his blessing on Zion, right? And then suddenly that becomes a name for a region, but really it becomes a name for a people set apart unto God. Today in this world, you have a term Zionist, which unfortunately I think is a derogatory term that refers primarily to racism. Where in Israel they say, only Jewish people and all you people, you can come, but don't get in our way. And if you're a Christian who lives in Israel, you're really quite oppressed right now because they don't accept that Jesus is the Messiah. And so they're kind of like, well, you know, you guys bring a lot of revenue from tourism. And so we'll cooperate. And I mean, the three world religions like to fight in that place, you know. We understand the dynamic. So if you hear Zion and you think negative right away, it's because you've just been reading the papers, you haven't been reading the Bible. And if you would just get up out of the trunk of meaning that has been filled inside your head, perhaps by media, so you think Zionist, and get your trunk in your head with meaning filled with God's heart toward the term, you realize that the dew of Hermon falls on the mountains of Zion, of the people of God, and there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, the way that I have it spread out on my piece of paper is, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Stop, space, it's like, precious oil on the head. It's like the dew of Hermon, space, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So that as I'm reading it, I see a little something like this. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's like oil on the head, oil on the beard, oil on the collar, dripping, dripping, dripping down. It's like the snow-capped mountains that feed the Jordan River that brings life. I want that. I declare to you from the pulpit this morning, we as Christian believers in fellowship need that. And that's what the sermon's about this morning. Do you remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. That was one of the final things he said that matters. You will be my witnesses. And so we walk away with that. And then it says in verse 13 of Acts chapter 1, when they had entered, they went to the upper room where they were staying. And then it names 11 apostles. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. 11. Then it tells you how they picked the 12th, the replacement for Judas Iscariot, right? And then it says this in verse 14, and with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together. Do you see how Psalm 133 is an introduction to that picture in Pentecost? In the book of Acts, and they're together. That's the end of chapter, well, that's verse 14 in chapter 1. And then they'll pick the other apostle, Matthias.